Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that God has made. We all should just rejoice and be glad in it. As always, it's a pleasure for me, Diane Adams, your host, to come to you with the Words of Wisdom broadcast station. I just want to let you know that my prayer is that the word come forth just plain and simple. God has allowed me to come before you week after week with a Bible study, and I pray that I say the things to you that God wants to be said. I pray that you receive what God has said to you, because remember, it is for you. I want to thank God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for allowing this to happen and using me as his servant. I would like to thank each and every one of you who call in every Wednesday. You know, there's plenty of things that you could be doing, but you saw fit to call in, and I say thank you. Our program tonight, for those who have read the text that I gave them, I ask that you read the entire book of Jonah. Jonah is a short book in the Bible. It has only four chapters, and all four chapters compile of only 72 verses. So I pray that each and every one of you had a chance to read it, and I hope you were prayerful in your reading, and I pray that we all could explore the Word of God together tonight. If there's any questions, anything you want to add to it, anything you think that should have been said that wasn't said, I welcome all comments. I welcome anybody adding to what has been said. So keep that in mind. If you would like to say anything, you have to press the one button on your phone, and I can open your mic and it could be heard. For those who don't know, there is a prayer line, and the prayer line number is 504-289-9501. You could also use that number to call and say you would like a special topic to be presented in a Bible study, a specific subject, a question that you may have, and you didn't want to press the one button, you could call that number, 504-289-9501, and then we could also explore the word together there. As always, it's time to go to the throne of grace and thanking God for what he has allowed and what he's going to allow to happen in our Bible study hour. We have to go to prayer. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. I'll open up the mic, and you could lead us in prayer. Madison made a comment that he would like to pray at the end this time and not the beginning. So Madison is here tonight, but he's doing his homework, and he would like to pray at the end. But if there's anyone who would like to pray to lead us to the throne of grace at this time, please press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. Well, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I am, the will in the middle of a will, the God that's above all other gods, the only true and living God. Heavenly Father, right now we want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to come together one more time to explore the word of God together. Lord, we thank you for your Son, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. And I thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit who leads and guides us into all righteousness and truth. Heavenly Father, I pray that the word don't return void. And I pray that all the listeners' ears are open and they have already come prepared to explore. They have studied the word of God that was put before them, dear God, and we're going to go through it right now. Heavenly Father, help us and guide us and deliver us from all of our sins. Heavenly Father, look at all of us, and if there's anything in us that's not of you, dear God, I ask that you take it out. Heavenly Father, increase our faith that we may not sin against thee. Lord, lead us and guide us into all righteousness and truth. And we will forever give you praise, honor, and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I see that a caller has pressed the one button, and it's not too late. You know, we need more and more prayer. So, caller, your number is 42144. Your mic is open, and you could say whatever you have to say.
Now, first, I want to thank God for allowing me to be with this group tonight. I haven't been calling because I've been sick, but I thank God I'm still here. And I just want to pray tonight because so many people dying from everything, and I just thank God I'm here. Oh, Heavenly Father, Father, I just want to say thank you. Lord, thank you for keeping me thus far, Lord. But Lord, thank you for keeping all of us thus far, because all of us going through something. And if we're not going through it, Lord, we will be going through something. Lord, I just thank you. I love you, Lord. Lord, thank you for my strength and my health, Lord. Lord, thank you for all the blessings you have blessed me with. Lord, I ask for strength for everybody that's on the prayer line. Not the prayer line, the Bible study, Lord. Because we could have been doing so many other things, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together to let Minister Adams minister to us, Lord. Because without her ministry and the word of God, Lord have mercy, where would I be? Because right now, Lord, you know my heart. I'm unable to get to church like I want to. So I need to get to the Bible study. And I've been having problems getting with that because I've been so sick, Lord. But, Lord, thank you because I'm still here. And I want y'all to pray for me because I go get my chemo tomorrow. And I just want y'all to pray for me and lift me up and strengthen me. Ask God to strengthen me, Lord, because I do need strength. I pray for Madison that he volunteer to pray all the time. God has a calling on his life. And I always say if Madison could pray, anybody could pray. He's a child and he has a spirit on him. Thank God for his grandmother, Lord. Thank God for all of y'all. I love you and I know God loves you. But Lord, I pray for the people in this world, because it's not the world, it's the people in the world shooting at McDonald's, just killing up people. And it's just gone too far, killing 3-year-olds. It's out of hand. We have to bring the word of God back into these children's lives so they can learn to live like a Christian and not be killed and shooting. But Lord, I don't want to take much time because I have so much to be grateful for. And I want y'all to pray for my mama because she bring me to my sessions and she bring me back home. Thank God for my mama and my family too. Lord, I just thank you. I praise you. I worship you, Lord. All these blessings, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and thank God.
I
want
to thank you, Sister Cynthia. I want to thank you for such a powerful prayer. I want to thank you for a heartfelt prayer. I want to thank you for keep calling in. And I want to thank you because you're using every opportunity that is presented to you to do the work of the Lord. You know, we don't know how long we have here. We don't know the last Bible study. We don't know the last church service. We don't know the last time we have to pray. We don't have know the last time we have to witness. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be a great thing that we are constantly doing and taking every opportunity to do something for the Lord.
That's
because
right.
We all have to pass that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say thank you for your prayers. And we're going to keep praying for Sister Sanders. That was Cynthia Sanders, the lady we always pray for with our treatments and all. And I'm asking that each and every one of you continue praying for her and anyone else with prayer requests, if you make it known. And Cynthia, I say God bless you. You know I love you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for the prayer. And we're going to go with the lesson. I see that many more callers have come in. So I'm going to say the name of the subject of the lesson, the theme of the lesson. And I'm going to give you the scripture that we're going to come out of, and we're going to go right into the Word of God. Tonight's theme for our Bible study is, you can run, but you can't hide. I'm going to use the printed text. I'm going to use Jonah, the first chapter, the first through the 17th verse, which is the entire first chapter of Jonah. And remember, like I said, there's only four chapters, and the four chapters is compiled of only 72 verses. So we're going to go ahead in the lesson. And my introduction to the lesson tonight, and it's really confirmation because it's digging back on what Sister Cynthia said and what I wanted to let us all know as the introduction, that sin is running rampant in our society today. We have overflowing prisons. CNN News and Daily News headlines is a witness to these facts. Then there is child abuse, serial killings, terrorism, hate crimes, and our youth killing each other daily. Then we turn around and it's police brutality, injustice. You see, the world seems to be full with violence and hatred and corruption. With everything that's going on around us, and perhaps we are experiencing some of these things ourselves, we may find ourselves wishing for revenge by any means necessary on a predator or someone we think has harmed us. You know, sometimes some of the violence and the unjust come your way, and you just want to, you know, the person to be got, that you think got you. You know, that's like a human reaction. But, you know, when you look at these people, you don't even feel like they need justice. They can't be redeemed, and they don't deserve mercy or grace for some of the crimes and the things that they commit. You see, with all of this going on, we can begin to understand the necessity of God's judgment. You know, all through the Bible, if you really study and you look at it, there were plenty of times when prophets and kings and people of God and even the disciples would question God or question Jesus. Why does it always seem that the bad ones is achieving, that the ones that's not doing right sometimes have the most, or that justice is to the one that hurt someone and no justice for the one that being hurt? You know, we start to feel anger in ourselves, and we want vengeance by any means necessary. But, you know, when we have that in our heart, it blocks us from blessings. Excuse. We must remember, God said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, said the Lord. What's he saying? He said, you know, be all right. You know, use God's standing with dealing with people, even when they did you wrong. Even when even when they just went out the way to hurt you, you know, and you can't forgive them. But, you know, when you grow in grace and the knowledge of God, you realize that forgiveness is not as much for them as it is for you. God say, I got that. God say, I don't sleep nor slumber. No one is getting away. And judgment is real. You see, people say, you know, it's been 100 years, 1,000 years. The people in the Old Testament were saying, how long will God put the wrath on their, the people who had them, you know, in bondage, or the people who had them under submission and different things like that. But God has his own time. Our time is not God's time. We have to remember that. But God's judgment is real. And all of us may seem like we giving God what we want to give God, when we want to give it, how we want to give it, but yet every day he still gives you breath. So I don't know if you think you're getting away, or you start to believe that it's all right, that, you know, if you half do it, or 3/4 of the way do it, or however you do it. But God is not asleep. If you're not giving him your all, he knows that. But yet he allow you to wake up in the morning, because God is just and kind and merciful. It is God's desire that everyone have a chance to get saved. And God is giving enough time that everyone can hear the word and have a choice to receive it or not before his final judgment comes upon this world. But his judgment is real. You know, if we look at the flood in Noah's time, God wiped out everything except Noah, his wife and his children and their husband. And then you look at Solomon and Gomorrah, when only Lot and his two daughters and his wife that looked back turned to a pillar of salt. You know, God is not to play with. You know, we keep tap dancing with him and getting by and thinking it's all right. But the wrath of God is real. You know, and then you have to ask yourself, what would I do if God tell me to forgive them and for me to take the gospel to them? How would I respond? You know, God asks us to forgive so that we may be forgiven. And he told us it's our duty to share the gospel of God with everybody, not just those you like, not just those you think deserve it, not those who you think going to receive it and react the way you want to react to it. But he say all, and that's our responsibility, you know. So when we look at our lesson tonight, this is a reflection. Well, an introduction I did was a reflection of what happened and what was going on in Noah's, in Jonah's time, and how he reacted to it. You see, this is what happened to Jonah. God gave him an assignment, and he didn't want to deliver it. So he ran away. But he learned that he could run, but he couldn't hide. You see, Jonah was a minor prophet. In the Bible, there are 17 prophets. 5 prophets are major, and 12 prophets are minor. The thing that separates a minor from a major prophet is how much writing they did. So when you look in the Bible and you see your prophets, and you see some of them have more books and more verses than others, they are major, and the other prophets are minor. You see, Jonah was a minor prophet, just because of the amount of writing he did. But Jonah was proud. He was stubborn. He was disobedient. He was unfaithful. He was bad-tempered. And he was cankerous. Do y'all know anybody like that? But look at this. Look at God. Yet God had a job for him to do. You see, the books in the Bible, the books of prophecy, usually focus on the prophecy given by God to the prophet for the people. But the book of Jonah focuses on the prophet Jonah. You see, Jonah was a relentless prophet given a mission he found distasteful. He was reluctant, y'all. Can you imagine a prophet being reluctant? Because the mission he was given was distasteful. Are any of us like Jonah? God tell us to go east, we go west. God tell us to help Mary, and you don't think Mary deserved the help. You see, Jonah decided to run. And he ran fast. And he thought he ran far. But he couldn't hide. And as we go into scriptures tonight, I'm going to start with the first verse in the book of Jonah, in the first chapter. And it reads as follows. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, to arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. That's the order God gave Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. He would get orders from God. God gave him this order. He didn't like it. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of God and went to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of God. Can you believe it? You see, God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and warned the violent and godless Ninevites of their impending doom. God was going to wipe the city of Nineveh out. But he wanted to give them a chance. So he was sending his prophet Jonah to give them a warning. You see, in Nineveh, everyone was doing what seemed right in his own eyes. That looked like the United States, especially New Orleans, huh? Where everybody do what seems right in their eyes. You see, Nineveh was an important city of Assyria. And it was the world power. They had all the power in Jonah's day. But they was mean and they was nasty. And imagine having the power. Jonah didn't like it. Jonah doesn't say much about the wickedness in Nineveh, but if you visit the book of Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, that's a book in the Bible. Nahum is in the Bible. And if you visit the book of Nahum, you will find out what the Bible say about Nineveh. You know, it said that they were people that plotted against God. Not that they just didn't worship him. They plotted against him. They exploited the helpless. They were very cruel in war. And they practiced idolatry, prostitution, and witchcraft. You see, Jonah didn't think that the Ninevites deserved saving. He looked at them as pagan, and he thought that God taking an interest in them was unthinkable. How could he? You see, he didn't believe that they deserved mercy or grace, as if it only belonged to the Jews, which he was one of God's chosen people. You know, for those who already know, and maybe some who don't. You know, when God created everything and when God decided that he wanted a nation, he chose the Jews to be his nation, and they became his chosen people. And back in those days, the Jews was puffed up because if God chose them, then they were. You know, God, you know, you would say, well, why he chose them? Because he wanted to. Remember, God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. And by them being a chosen people, they like to rub people's nose in it. And you see, there's only two classes of people in the world. So the Hebrews were the Jews, and everything that's not a Jew is a Gentile. So tonight I want to let you know that you are Gentile. And Jews were Jews. Here we see that Jonah was thinking more of himself than he should have, as if he was more righteous than them, or even have never sinned. You see, Jonah hated them so much that he didn't want to warn them just in case they would repent. And that's deep. They have people around you that don't even want, there are people who don't even want certain people to get the word of God that they could be saved. And we know it's true because this is what Jonah was doing. He didn't think they deserved the mercy, but he didn't want to give them the warning because he didn't want them to take heed and repent. And he knew God would save them. Instead of doing what God told him to do, he fled to Joppa, got on a ship bound for Tarshish, which was in the opposite direction of Nineveh. He thought he could get away from God. For watch this. God was on the boat. And like in our lesson last week, because he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at the same time. But you see, if God has a certain purpose for your life, the gifts and calling of God that he has placed on your life is irrevocable. You see, you will either fulfill his purpose or he will simply roll over you to accomplish what he has for ordained. You see, and everything that God asks us to do, he provides the provisions necessary for you to accomplish the task. You see, even in your blatant disregard for the assignment or the assignments that's given to you, God's will still be done. You see, Jonah was determined to get away from God by any means necessary. He decided to run, but he will soon find out that he's not able to hide. And if we go to the fourth verse, all the way through the ninth verse, and it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty temperance in the sea, so that the ship was likened to be broken. Then the marines, that was the people who was on the boat, was afraid and cried every man unto God, and cast lots and cast forth their wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, What means thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God. If so be that God will think upon us that we not perish. And they say it, everyone to his fellow. Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for who cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then say they to he, tell us, we pray, for who caused this evil upon us? And they start questioning him. They say, man, what's your occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people are thou? You see, they were in there, and they wanted to know some answers now. And then Jonah answered to them and said, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, which is a Jew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the seas and the dry land. So Jonah gave them his who he was. You see, once Jonah was aboard the ship, and God caused a great wind into the sea that rocked the boat, that the sailors was afraid, and they believed that the boat was going to be broken. You see, at this time, they wasn't understanding what was going on or even why. You know, if they was able to tell a story, you know, they can't say I turned on the 6 o'clock news, but they would read the sky, and they didn't see, you know, any signs of bad weather. You see, everything was calm, and then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. They did everything in their power. They asked every man to call out to their God. You see, what they was doing by doing that, they was looking for help from something greater than themselves. You see, these men weren't Jews. In fact, they were Gentiles who worshiped other gods. And it was probably from different places. So some might have worshipped the god of the moon, or the god of the sun, or the god of the rock. They, you know, but he told all of them, call out to your gods. And it woke Jonah up and told him to call on his God too. Then they start throwing everything off the boat, their cargo, their supplies, to lighten the load, thinking that it would help. And Jonah was on the other side of the, on the other side. And they say, call upon your God. And they was just trying to figure out what to do, because they really didn't understand. So they decided to cast lots. And lots is, and for us today, it's like flipping a coin. It's like spinning a bottle, or even throwing dice. They decided to cast a lot to find out who was the guilty person. You see, the lot fell on Jonah. Now watch this. God allowed this superstitious, because, you know, that's like, you know, we don't believe in all of that. But he allowed this superstitious act to give them the answer. He intervened to let Jonah know that he could run, but he couldn't hide. They asked him, what do we do with you? What should we do with you? You know, and they start asking him, who are you? Who are your people? Where you came from? You see, that's what we have to do sometime in our life. We need to know who we riding and sailing with. And we need to know their intentions. You see, the wrong company can get you in trouble. You see, we have a great responsibility to obey God's word, because our sins and disobedience can hurt others around us. You see, Jonah was disobedient, and he ran on that boat. And then, you know, before God intervened, it appears that everybody was going to perish. And you see, we can't measure our obedience by our feelings. And we're not afforded the privilege of making it up as we go. See, Jonah felt like the Ninevites shouldn't be saved. He felt like in his emotions that they weren't worth saving. You see, we shouldn't be measuring our obedience, or letting our feelings be a measuring stick for our obedience. Letting our feelings or emotions be a measuring stick for our obedience. Because if you do that, what you're going to be doing is making it up as you go. You see, instead, we must compare what we do with God's standards, which is the word of God. You see, and then if we look at 10, they say, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why has thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of God because he had told them. That was verse 10. Verse 11 said, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was temperous. And 12, and he said to them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. Throw me over the sea. You know, I'm the problem. Throw me over and the sea will be calm to you, and y'all will be all right. For I know that for my sake this great temperance is upon you. And 13 say, nevertheless, the men, the sailors, rowed the boat even harder to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea was wrought and was temperous against him. Now watch the hand of God. You see, the men now understand the power of God. That not only is he omnipresent, he's omnipotent, meaning he has all power in his hand. You see, he has the power to make the wind and the sea follow his command. And the men were afraid. They hadn't witnessed it like that. And I could bet your bottom dollar none of their gods could do nothing like that. Hallelujah. So they now know that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Almighty God. And they didn't want any trouble from God. They began to show respect and reverence unto God because they had seen his power. What happened when you saw God's power? Have you began to give him reverence? Come on now. Do you give him respect? Do you give him his just due? These men saw the power of God, and they decided quickly they didn't want no trouble from God. And they wanted to know what to do with Jonah, but they wanted to know that it would be all right with God, with Jonah's God. So they tried to roll a boat harder to get back to land so they wouldn't have his blood on their hands. And remember, they didn't want to do anything to displease God. They tried to bring it back under their power, but they were unable to. And you see what they was doing? They were showing compassion towards Jonah, even though Jonah didn't want to show any compassion towards Nineveh. You see, at this point, Jonah was willing to be cast into the sea and die in order to save the sailors, although he refused to do the same for the people of Nineveh. You see, Jonah hatred for the Assyrians had affected his perspective of what he was to do. Don't you know how hatred and unforgiving could really impede our perception, our perspective, our productivity? It holds you back. You see, you know, as a rule of thumb, you could always remember that hatred and unforgiveness will keep you stuck on stupid. And why I say that, because, you know, some people are still holding on and hating and ain't forgiving people that did them something 20 years ago. The people that they did it don't even remember what they did, and they went on with their life, and you the one stuck. And not so long ago, the Holy Spirit gave me another little thought, and it was so profound. He said, you know, some of the people that you hating on are hating because of what they might have did or what you thought they did or what you thought they shouldn't have do or what they did, what you didn't want them to do or whatever. And, you know, you holding that hatred in, say, for 20, 25 years. And now the people, you know, and you know, the person died. So what you do with the hate, the unforgiveness that you carried all of those years, what you do with it now? You let it go? You let it go now when you could have let it go before? The choice is always yours. But you see, to not hate and be forgiven is not so much for the other person as it is for you. Remember that. Because it's true. And hatred and unforgiveness will keep you stuck on stupid. And if we look at 14, it says, therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, has done as it is, as it pleases thee. Come on now, these are pagan people. That's not Jews talking. You know, look how they're giving reverence to God. More than some of the saved people do. And especially more than Jonah was doing at this time. And Jonah was one of God's chosen people. They're giving him honor, glory, and respect once they saw his power. Can you see God's power? So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. They knew that he made the winds come up, and he made all of this and all of that happen, but now he done calmed the sea. Hallelujah. And they got more frightened. So what they did, they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. They threw him over, you know. They threw him out the boat. But look at the provision of God. You see, because if he would have got in, if God would allow the sea to keep raging, and he was thrown off the ship in a raging sea, of course he would have drowned. And when God threw him off, he didn't know that the fish was going to receive him. But God had a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the whale. In the belly of the fish, 3 days and 3 nights. You see, the Marines, the sailors now respect God. And you know what they told him in so many words, but not in the scripture? They say, not our will, but thy will, O Lord. So they threw Jonah off the ship and the sea ceased from raging. Now they believe and fear God. They offered a sacrifice and made a vow unto him. Watch this. God uses every situation and everything he created for his glory. And his goal is to get man to believe that he is only the true and living God. You see, even in his obedience, God still got the glory. You see, what the devil meant for the bad, God turned it around for his good. Now they believe the God of Jonah. All of them sailors got saved. Hallelujah. God was not finished with Jonah. He prepared the great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah ran, but he could not hide from God or his command. You see, God was right there in the belly of the fish. And this representation of Jonah being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights is a representative of Christ dying on the cross and being in a grave 3 days, and on the third day he rose, and on the third day the belly gonna vomit up Jonah. Excuse. Now, that's the printed scripture. The second chapter, I'm sure you all read, and if you haven't, you could do it tonight. When Jonah got in the belly of the whale, he prayed. And he didn't necessarily pray a prayer of repentance. He prayed a prayer of thanksgiving, being thankful that he got out the stomach of the fish. So the second chapter is just a prayer that Jonah cried out to God. And while he was in the belly of the fish and prayed his prayer, God heard him. And the third chapter, Jonah ran away from God and was given a second chance to participate in God's work. God told him, go to Nineveh and preach. But preach what I tell you to preach. You see, that's the problem with some of us now. We want to say what we want to say. Sometimes God wants you to say just what he told you to say. You got to remember, God is a God of many chances, and he tell Jonah, go again. And you see, Nineveh was a 3-day journey. But Jonah, after all of this and being vomited out by the whale and thought he was dead and now he escaped death, he arrived in 1 day. And Jonah went there. He preached a strong message. And he told the people what God wanted them to hear. The people believed and repented. And God saw that they what they did and how they turned from evil. He had compassion, and the destruction that he had threatened them with, God held it back. And if you get to the fourth and the final chapter, Jonah, after all of this, he's still mad and angry. Even now, the fourth chapter, first verse say, even now Jonah is displeased and very angry. He didn't want God to give his salvation to the wicked pagan nation, but look at it. That's why I say his perspective had fog on it or something. Because isn't that what God does for everyone who come to him by faith? We, as well as Jonah, as well as the people on the ship, as well as the people in Nineveh, we all receive it freely. And now he prayed to God, just kill me. You know, just take my life. I'd rather die. You know, all through it, he was willing to die than to do what's right. But you see, God had a purpose for his life. Come on now. He'd rather die than to see the Ninevites being saved. So he, after he preached the sermon, he go there and he build a shelter over his head, and in the shelter, they had sun coming on his head, and God compassion let a vine grow up, and a vine grew up over his head, and when the vine grew up, he was thankful for God for the shade. But by the morning, God allowed a worm to come and eat the vine, and then he put a wind and brought in the scorching heat from the east, and it went on his head, and now he have the audacity to be mad with God for the vine going away. God said, you know, you're more worried about the vine, you know, leaving. God said, do you have the right to be angry about the vine? Jonah answered and said, yes, I do. I am angry enough to die. Because the vine left. Now God tells Jonah, you are more concerned about the vine that you didn't labor for, neither made it grow. It came up in the night and perished in a night. A vine. You know, you're so concerned about. And yet Nineveh is a great city with thousands of people and thousands of cattle. You see, Jonah had his priorities mixed up. All through here, he was worrying about the wrong things. And that's the way it is with our life. Because if we either are following God's standards, are we following the world's standards? And sometimes we go to sleep at night worrying about how we could get more of what we already have. And just like Jonah was a prophet and he had a specific assignment from God for this, we all have assignments from God. I don't believe there's nobody who God haven't told to do something for him. The word of God is very plain to say, go ye therefore into all nations. Share the word of God. You see, it's God's will that everyone be saved. And someone may not hear the word and receive the word unless you bring it to them. We all have assignments. And it may not be as drastically, seeming as drastically as we could look at this story of Jonah. But when we don't do it, it has the same result. We have to begin to take every opportunity that God affords us to shed a word, to give words of encouragement. You know, and you may not be have the assignment to bring a prophecy, but you could sure enough bring words of encouragement. You could bring a kind word to a broken heart. Everybody got something to do. The Bible tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. All of the selfish people walking around day in and day out just concerning about what I'm going to do now and what I'm going to do later, what I'm going to wear now and how I'm going to do it later. Where is God in all of this? God said, I'm a jealous God. He said, if you put everything before me, I know they evidently come before me because I know the way you act. He said, inspect yourself and ask yourself, what have you done for me lately? Just like God was doing everything he can, and God always do everything he can for everybody. You know what I think, too, sometimes people say in life that, you know, when you be too kind to some people, they take your kindness for weakness. But I came to show you and tell you tonight that there's nothing weak about God, but he's merciful. He's patiently waiting for us to get it right and to do it better tomorrow than we do it today. But you know, you got to ask yourself, You know, there was one time, and I think this was when they was in the wilderness, God was just sick and tired of all of the grumbling and the disobedient and not giving him respect and honor. He just stood up and he told him, he said, everybody on my side, he told Moses to tell him, everybody on my side, come over here. He said, everybody who think, you know, they got it going on and they're not on my side, they don't want to, you know, do my will or whatever, he said, go on that side. And everybody that came on his side, he told each and every one of them to pull out a sword. And they demolished everybody on the other side right then and there. You see, maybe we could be walking around thinking that God is slower. What usually happens, because you keep doing it the way you want to do it, and God don't send lightning down and strike you, you figure you're all right. But God say you're not getting away. You're not getting away. I see. He's saying, I still love you. He said, just like on the earth, he said, all of a father's children may not be all good children. And I don't mean as good and perfect in that way, but good towards their father. He says, so what more, I, the Heavenly Father who created you, who woke you up this morning, who started you on your way, put food on your table. He said, gave you a portion of health and strength. He said, what about me? What do I deserve? And as I close, each and every one of us have to evaluate ourselves. I didn't say y'all, I say us, our, not you, but ourselves. And see what we can do, or see what we should do that we're not doing, and see what we are doing that we should stop doing, so that we could give God honor, glory, and praise. Jonah learned some important lessons. Jonah learned how merciful God is. And when I talked about the Gentiles tonight, y'all need to be glorified when God sent the people to Nineveh, sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn those people. Those people were Gentiles. We are Gentiles. But God was showing in the Old Testament, way before Jesus Christ came in the New Testament, that he was going to have and make a way not just for his chosen people, the Jews, but he was going to open the gap, fill a gap, and remove the fence for the Gentiles to come in freely. Hallelujah. We have to just think about this. And God loves us so much. But just think about what he deserves. And ask yourself, what have I done for him lately? And that's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to make a comment, you could ask a question about the lesson. You could ask for prayer. You could do anything you want. And just like Jonah hated those people that much, in a lesson he might have said about 3 or 4 times, he rather died than to give them the message, because he didn't want them to hear it and repent. Jonah preached the message that God told him to preach, and the people turned around and repented from their sins. And Jonah was still mad. You got to watch what you let just clog you up and have you angry against people and hate. And unforgiveness is not a good look. And you see what happened to Jonah. But after that, Jonah became a powerful, he still preached. And at the time when God sent him, he was a prophet. And even in all of his disobedience, God still had all the provisions necessary for him. God still had his hand working it out for his good in the midst of his mess. That's why last week or the other week, whatever week, I told you God doesn't allow your past to cancel your future. Just keep holding on, because what God got for you, he got for you. And God ain't, if God said it, it's going to come to pass. But you got to be willing and able to say, God, here am I. Send me. So if no one would like to make any comments or anything like that, it is now 9:30. We're going to go ahead and have a closing prayer. And we'll end our lesson tonight. I want you guys to know that I really do love you guys, and God loves you too. So if anybody would like to make a comment or concern, have a prayer request, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, Madison is here to pray, and I'm going to open up the studio so that he may come in.
Lord, thank you for today, this Wednesday, that people are able to tune in and then get home. And please pray for Sister Cynthia with her sickness that's going on, that she gets better. And when she, and every time she teaches the word to other people and mentions it, she could think about how God is helping her right now. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to still be on the earth at this time, spreading the word and praying for things about you and knowing things that you could do and believing things that you will do. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison. That's our lesson for tonight. I pray that you were blessed. And if the Lord say the same, we'll be back next week. And remember, if anyone have any topic or questions, concerns, prayer requests, if you didn't press the one button and you want to do it, you know, one-on-one, you could call the number 504-289-9501. And I just want you guys to know, but there may be some people who are calling every week. This is not a substitution for church. This is Bible study. And it's Bible study. And if any one of you do not know God for yourself and the pardon of your sins, I pray that you accept Christ as your Savior. And if you want to do it offline, you have the number to call. Go to a church of your choice and receive the salvation of God. Time is running out. Don't y'all see how sin is on every side? This is a wicked world, and the people are wicked. And it's going to be worse. They're fixing to open up churches of Satan. Do you hear me? They fixing to want to get their own church, the church of Satan believers. And you know when one pop up, many going to pop up in the Bible. Tell us about the Antichrist. Satan is popping up the volume because he knows time is getting short. And he's trying to use everything and all of his influence on anyone he can. But you have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of God, or you might get shipped up like the wheat. Hallelujah. But God is able, and he is our Savior, and he will take care of us. He is. So I pray that everybody be blessed and have a great week. This is our lesson for tonight. I pray that God's word don't return void. And I was only your messenger. The Holy Ghost was the author. and he will be the finisher of your faith. So I pray that everyone be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Good night.